Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We bring on the voice of the Gardos, of course, on Bally Sports.
Great Lakes.
Great Lakes. Matt Underwood. What's up, Matty?
Hi, Nick. Hi, Dustin. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. I want to ask you, do you know what a glizzy is?
A glizzy?
Yeah.
No, can't say that I do.
The kids are using it now these days. I had no idea. It's a hot dog.
Really?
That's it. Well, it's a hot dog, yeah.
That's a new one on me.
So when you're at the ballpark and you see all these kids eating hot dogs, they're eating glizzies.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I was never really the hippest guy in the world when it comes to, you know, so I'm usually about a couple years behind the times. So surprised that I don't know that.
We'll talk some baseball in a second. One more question. Would you dip a hot dog in beer?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm a purist, too. Clint Eastwood, Dirty Harry, nobody. I mean, nobody puts ketchup on a hot dog. That's
just... Except me.
Matt, because it is opening day, I did want to ask you, do you have any favorite opening day memories that just jump off the memory there?
You know, I go back to, you know, my first opening day as an announcer, and I was never really I don't remember ever going to opening day as a kid. I grew up an hour away from Cleveland, and, you know, you're in school on opening day, and just wasn't a thing. The first one I worked in Baltimore back in 2000, you know, it's going to be special because, it's the first time. And it was a lot of fun. I don't remember specifically about the game. I just remember, you know, it was kind of a dream come true to be a major league announcer and for the first time on the air. So that's the one that stands out for me.
Matt, let's get to this team. And I do want to get to tonight's game and you know, the early part of this season. But last year, they surprised everybody. And it feels like, I'm now just going to insert my opinion here, it feels like people are kind of nationally are treating that as a one-year kind of, happenstance by the Guardians. How should our expectations change after the win last year going into this year?
I think that you have to, you have to look at Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff and the job they've done. And you can't look at those guys and say, well, they got lucky, right? I mean, those of us who are around this club and follow the team, you know that these are really smart guys. They invest a lot of time and energy into trying to put the best team on the field year in and year out. They've drafted well. They've developed well. They've made sharp trades. They are starting the process of trying to lock some of these guys up to long-term contracts. That's a signal. I mean, if you don't know anything, you know, about baseball, that should be a signal that, A, they really like some of these young players, and they want to try to lock them up to long-term deals. And that should signal that this was not a one-year fluke last year. And, look, is there a chance some of these guys don't repeat the same kind of seasons they had a year ago? Sure, there's always that chance. But I think when you look at guys like, you know, I've been asked a lot about Stephen Kwan. Stephen Kwan is a bat-to-ball type of player. He's a contact guy that sprays the ball all over the field. That is not prone to, you know, big swings, ups and downs. That's a pretty steady, consistent approach. So, you know, there's a guy that I don't think you're going to see a huge drop-off. Same thing with Andrés Giménez. I think Giménez has a chance to be even better than we saw a year ago. So, I don't look at this as injuries are always the great equalizer. But that being said, if they stay relatively healthy, I think they've got a great opportunity to be, you know, right back in the thick of things going into October.
Matt, tonight Shane Bieber is going to start his, I believe it's his fourth opening day for the Guardians. And obviously, you know, he's our ace. What do we expect out of Biebs tonight in the season?
You know, he looked strong in spring training as far as, you know, building up his pitch count, getting to where he wanted to be. He led the team in ERA and innings. He had 200 innings last year, almost 200 strikeouts. He made 31 starts. I think that you know, he's reached that point in his career where he is the veteran ace of the staff. And I expect him to go out and lead the way. And hopefully he sets the tone for the rest of that rotation and everybody else follows suit. And obviously in the short term, they're going to have to do it without Tristan McKenzie until he gets back off the injured list. But that's the other thing that this organization has done a tremendous job of, and that's developing starting pitching. So it's not like if you lose a guy, you're throwing darts at a board. You know you've got guys in reserve to help, you know, until Tristan can come back and get himself healthy. So I expect Bieber to be strong. I expect him to be, you know, one of the best pitchers in baseball because I think he's proven that he can be that type of guy.
Matt Underwood on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Talking Guardians opening day here. Guardians 10-10 first pitch against the Mariners tonight. You know, I know Josh Bell's a huge signing. I know Mike Zunino offers you the power that even though he might not be a better average hitter than Austin Hedges, that power could be a difference maker for the Guardians. But when it comes to the 1-9, which players are going to be the key to this lineup being, you know, maybe the difference between it being the 20th best lineup in baseball this year and top 10 lineup, best lineup in baseball this year?
Well, I think you just kind of hit on it, to be honest with you. I think a year ago, what made them exciting was their ability to, you know, make contact, put the ball in play, put pressure on the defense, run the bases aggressively, steal bases, take those extra bases on balls in the gaps and, you know, when a ball gets in the dirt from the pitcher. But I think the addition and having legitimate power threats in your lineup should help the rest of the lineup. Okay, so a year ago, think back. You were hoping Franmil Reyes was going to be that guy that could sit in the middle and give Jose Ramirez protection. That never happened, right? But if Josh Bell can do that, that makes Jose Ramirez even better, which is a scary thought. I think it takes pressure off Josh Naylor, which should help him be even better this year. And then you got a guy like Mike Zunino, who's lurking down there, you know, near the bottom of the order. And a year ago, hey, Luke Maley and Austin Hedges did a tremendous job defensively, but neither one of those guys gave you much offense. So Zunino, he's a guy that should play strong, quality defense. He was the Wilson Defensive Player of the Year at the catching position a couple seasons ago. But you know he's got that legitimate home run power. So again, that makes the bottom of your order a little stronger. A pitcher can kind of take a breath and, you know, he can cruise through the 7, 8, 9 spots. Now he's got to really, you know, be careful and navigate his way through the entire lineup. So I think those are two key positions. And I think, you know, it's not oversimplifying the way you stated at the top. Those were really important additions because the rest of this lineup, it enables those guys to just go out and be themselves. They don't have to try and do too much. They don't have to try and go out and hit for power and hit for home runs.
Matt, looking at the rotation, Aaron Civale and Zach Plesac had their ups and downs last year. How long of a leash do you think Tito's going to have with those guys, specifically in the rotation?
Well, I mean, look, the one thing about Tito, and we all know this from watching him, he's not a knee-jerk guy, right? He's going to give you maybe more time than as a fan you're comfortable with. So I don't think either one of those guys has to be looking over their shoulder. But at the same time, I don't think it's unfair to say for Zach Plesac, especially that this is a huge year for him. It's kind of get it done, or they're going to have to look in a different direction. And I think for Aaron Civale, it's more a case of, you know, try to stay healthy and just get out there and make every start. And you know, maybe if he has some bumps injury wise, hopefully those are minimal, and it's not something that, you know, knocks him out of the rotation for a month at a time. So I think you're right. I think those are two important spots in the rotation that we've seen flashes of greatness from both of them. But this is a big year, I think, for both of them because, as I said before, they've got depth now. You know, you've got, Gavin Williams and Tanner Bibee, and you've got guys that they're chomping at the bit down there waiting for their turn.
Matt, we were talking earlier about the pitch clock and how it's going to affect the game. By the way, we just had a Yankees game that went 2.5 hours. That was pretty impressive. That never happened. So maybe the pitch clock worked there a little bit. But I'm curious, from your perspective as a broadcaster, will Bally and you guys be showing the pitch clock? How do we see that?
Yeah, it'll be part of the graphic. So when you're looking on your screen where the score is and the pitch count, there will be a little graphic that that is showing the pitch clock as it ticks down. And I agree with you. I think it is going to have a direct impact, not in an adverse way at all. I think if you look at spring training, for example, and you just take that sample of games, time of game went down almost 30 minutes. And yet runs per game remain almost unchanged. Hits per game, all the pertinent statistics remain relatively unchanged. The time of the game, though, was drastically reduced, which I think you're just cutting out the fat. You know, we don't need to see guys stepping in and out of the box and readjusting and you know, taking their time, walking up to the music. And we don't need to see pitchers step off 16 times with a runner on first base. So you're just kind of trimming away the superfluous actions of the game that nobody really came to see in the first place. And I think it's going to be good overall. I think once the players get used to it and adjust to it, and having a spring training under their belt, they should be pretty ready to go. They should hit the ground running with this thing.
Matt, in terms of the, you know, both the pitch clock and obviously the changes for the shift here, do you think that baseball is going to experience a boom this year because of these changes, or do you think it's going to take longer for those changes to impact the popularity of baseball?
Well, I think it depends on the type of team you have. I think for us in Cleveland, this really plays to their strength. I mean, this is really the type of team that they are. And I think it should help them. I think what's going to be interesting is two things. One, you know, the cat and mouse game between the pitcher and the hitter. You know, if you're a left-handed pull hitter that's prone to pull the ball to the right side of the infield, and I can put three defenders over there and I can pitch you inside and force you to hit it into the teeth of the defense. As a hitter, you kind of know that's where I'm going to pitch you. But now, taking away that shift, now the hitter's not exactly sure where that pitcher is going to attack him. And so that's going to be an interesting, you know, matchup to watch, especially with the left-handed guys who are prone to pull a lot. Will they get more pitches away, trying to get him to roll over and hit weak ground balls? Will the hitter then adjust and look for that pitch away, knowing that prior to that this year, he wasn't seeing that pitch because they were just hoping he would pull it and hit it into the shift? I think that's going to be interesting to watch. And I also think it'll be interesting to see teams that don't have great athletic middle infielders. Does that impact them? Because you could live with a second baseman who had limited range before, because half the time you had the shortstop pulled around on the side of the infield to help him. If you have a second baseman or even a shortstop that doesn't have that great a range, it's going to show. You're going to see it this year.
All right, Matt, yes or no? The Guardians will win the World Series this year.
You know, Herb Score said a long time ago that predictions in baseball is a fool's errand. There's just no way to predict what's going to happen. I'm hopeful. I think they've got the pieces in place. That's a confident group, just as they were a year ago. And I'm really excited to see how this journey plays out this year.
Matt, we're excited to have you back. We're excited to have baseball back. Happy opening day, Knights. And we appreciate you, bud.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Dustin. You guys have
a great
day.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.